The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. And Tony, when Wilbon takes a day off, I'm just honored to be the first person that you call.
Tracy, he thinks he was first. What should I say?
Oh, God.
What? Yeah.
Oh, did Tracy give you a did Tracy give you a good line there that I definitely couldn't overhear you asking for? Yeah?
You were first. No, we both decided you were first.
Very good.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon almost made it to Thursday, but here to do his work is our great friend, the host of ESPN Daily, Mr. Pablo Torre. Good. And we begin today with Bruce Arians suddenly and surprisingly resigning yesterday as head coach of Tampa Bay. Defensive coordinator Todd Bowles was immediately named the new coach. Pablo, what do you make of Arians' decision and his timing?
Tony, I'm so glad to talk about this topic with you as the person in my life who is most concerned about forced retirement. I do wonder what you think about this, because Bruce Arians, to me, there's just a lot of smoke here, right? The notion, like, and this is a big difference between you and Bruce Arians. You're waking up early, you're preparing for the show, you're in the chair first. Bruce Arians, reportedly, we had heard, was not really doing that so much. He was in alleged semi-retirement throughout last season, and that wore on Tom Brady. And so the idea that Tom Brady has a certain power here that is unparalleled in sports by, I don't know, everyone not named LeBron James, the idea that that guy who's a micromanaging perfectionist doesn't want to work with the guy who's in semi-retirement but then rolls up and says, actually, I want to do this in-game, I get why Tom Brady would not want to work with him as his head coach.
So I just want to say for the record that Bruce Arians is a kid compared to me. I'm much older than Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
And like
a young
you,
70.
Pablo, like you, when I heard this, I jumped right to Tom Brady. And I asked myself out loud, is this good for Tom Brady? Is this bad for Tom Brady? Because the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter who the head coach of Tampa Bay is if they have Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the story here, and not Bruce Arians. They had some public squabbles. They said it didn't mean much. Maybe it didn't mean anything at all. I don't know. But Tom Brady gets the call here. If Tom Brady manipulated this, God bless Tom Brady. I had Jason Lockenfour of CBS Sports on my podcast this morning, and he told me that he's been writing for about 2 years that Bruce Arians could leave. He has left once before in his career, though that I believe was over health reasons, and he says this was not over health reasons. And that, and what Jason said was that they all knew that Todd Bowles would slide in. And on another team, that would be a very important story, given the lawsuit, the Brian Flores lawsuit. But on this team, the story is Tom Brady. And now there's a report. Is it Arians who said this, that he told Tom Brady the day after Tom Brady agreed to come back that he was going to leave the team? That's like 3 weeks ago, Pablo, and it leads to obvious speculation that it, you could speculate, did Tom Brady say as a condition of coming back, he can't be the coach?
Yeah, Rick Stroud, Tampa Bay beat reporter, said that, that the timing was such that Tom Brady learned the day after he came back, which feels something like, I don't know, I'm not going to say it's a cover-up. It seems just very coincidental. Right? And Tony, look, if you're Bruce Arians, what is notable to me about this also is that he is, at the very least, very publicly compliant. If it's a forced retirement, he's going along with it with an enthusiasm that I would not expect. But Bruce Arians, if in fact this is a guy who's kind of halfway out the door and Tom Brady nudged him, it feels like maybe that's the Occam's razor simplest explanation is the right one kind of theory here.
They've got a Super Bowl together. But nobody thinks of Arians and Brady like Bill Walsh and Joe Montana. That's not what the thinking is.
No, but Tony, let's move on to what they're thinking in baseball, because Brian Cashman has pushed back on the criticism that the Yankees have not made a World Series since 2009. Cashman told The Athletic this, quote, "The only thing that stopped us was so illegal and horrific," referring to the Astros cheating scandal. So I get offended because I'm like, well, I think we actually did it the right way, end quote. So, Tony, are you sympathetic to Brian Cashman's point of view here?
No, not really, because let's say we grant that the Astros, we know the Astros cheated and that kept the Yankees out. That still would be one World Series in 12 seasons. That's not what the Yankees are about. Even one in 12 is no big deal. Yankees spend all this money. Yankees have always are in it. Okay, let me put it to you this way. If Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle and Derek Jeter were in one World Series every 12 years, do you think they'd be in Cooperstown? Do you think they'd be in Monument Park? No. One World Series in 12 for the Yankees is a tremendous drought. Let me just go through those 12 seasons for a second.
Yeah.
The Astros, cheating as they did, made two more World Series, presumably without cheating. Tampa Bay, which has no money at all, none, zero, made a World Series when the Yankees did not make a World Series. Boston made two and won two. So if Cashman is worried about the Astros cheating, maybe he ought to worry about how to beat Boston. And then I think history will prove me right that the Texas Rangers went to two and the Kansas City Royals went to two. So what I would say to Brian Cashman about this really is shut up. Shut up.
Tony, I love how you managed to compliment the history of the Yankees, appeal to my childhood, and then indict our present. And I understand why you can do so, right? Because what Brian Cashman is saying here is, you know, grade me by a curve that no one else who has run this team has ever been graded by. And on that level, I do become insolent. I want my 28th ring, bro. I want that, and you have not given it to me. But at the same time, as a, I don't know, volunteer PR man for Brian Cashman, I just caution him against making these sorts of statements so grandiosely, because keep in mind that in 2017, the Yankees were also investigated for their own semi-related cheating scandal, right? Allegedly, they used the YES Network cameras to spy on the aforementioned Boston Red Sox, to take their signals and decode them. Just last week, a judge ruled that that finding by Major League Baseball should be unsealed. We should get details about that for the first time at some point. It just feels like he's daring people to point out that, hey, man, your house is also made of glass.
Well, yes. I mean, and I wonder if the cheating such a big deal that he didn't go after Carlos Correa? Or did he, you know, why didn't he go after Corey Seager? Corey Seager didn't cheat.
Sure.
The Dodgers in that 12-year period made it three times and actually got beat in the World Series by a team that did cheat, but we move on. Eric Church, I'm sure you know this, is a country music star and a big North Carolina Tar Heels fan. He grew up in Granite Falls in western North Carolina. Church had scheduled a concert this weekend in San Antonio, but with Carolina playing Duke in the Final Four, he abruptly canceled and asked that his fans understand that instead, Church was going to the game. Mm-hmm. Pablo, if you were a fan of Eric Church and you had tickets, would you understand Church begging you for a basketball game?
So I had to do some research for this topic, Tony. I am not a member of what is apparently called Church's choir. I am not a super fan of Eric Church. But I do imagine that if I was a member of the choir, I would suddenly be converting to Cameron Crazy as my religion of choice. Because apparently Eric Church had far less faith in the North Carolina Tar Heels than I did as a fan of Eric Church. Like, the Final Four has been scheduled. He did not think his Tar Heels would be there. I thought, as his hypothetical fan, Eric Church would be for me. So no sympathy from this hypothetical fan.
So I get this. I get why Church wants to do it. I get why a lot of fans would be upset. It does smack, obviously, of privilege. I should say that all tickets were refunded. But a lot of the people who go to these concerts travel hundreds of miles. They have to make hotel reservations. They have to worry about who's going to take care of their kids. It's a big deal, and it's a pretty large cost. And as you say, he calls his fans the choir, though we agree they wouldn't be singing with him right now. I would point this out. He wrote by way of explanation that he's a lifelong fan and he knows it's very selfish what he did. And then he thanked the fans for letting him go see the Tar Heels. Let me tell you what Eric Church ought to do, in my opinion.
Please.
He ought to go to one of his friends who sings country music, like Kenny Chesney or Keith Urban or Blake Shelton or Zach Brown.
Yep.
You know, one of those guys. And he should say, do this concert for me. You appear instead of me in San Antonio, and then what he should do is perform a series of free concerts in San Antonio, making sure that whoever wanted to see him could go see him. That is, I think that's why. And by the way, Keith Urban, he's an Australian, so he's got no skin in the game between Duke and North Carolina. He does not.
See, that is a far more benevolent volunteer PR job than the one I would have proposed, which is, you know how in the NBA they always say, knee soreness. Guess what you just got, Eric Church? Inconveniently, you got some knee soreness. You're load managing. Do not reveal the truth. Just go out there and say, little achy today. Sorry, choir.
If you're really mad at him and you're a fan, post a picture of yourself on Instagram and send it to him and you're wearing a Duke shirt.
That's right.
Let's take a break. Coming up, how should St. Peter's feel about Shaheen Holloway leaving for Seton Hall?
And what's the word to describe how the U.S. team backed into the World Cup last night?
Do you think he got his tickets for free? Do you think he had to pay for the tickets? Or do you think somebody comped him for this game?
I hope somebody charged him about five times as much as those tickets are worth. Clearly, he's desperate.
So you're angry at this. You're angry at Eric Church, even though you don't know his work.
I'm hypothetically angry.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Time to marvel at Pablo's Ivy League vocabulary and what's the word, what's first.
St. Peter should feel blank about Shaheen Holloway's decision to leave for Seton Hall.
They should feel understanding, okay? He's a graduate of Seton Hall. He played basketball there. He coached basketball there under Kevin Willard. It's just fortune that Kevin Willard left to take the Maryland job and the job was open. Seton Hall, he wasn't just Seton Hall's first choice. He was their only choice, right? And he's not leaving and going across the country to make a lot of money at a school he has no connection to. He's doing this at his alma mater. Now, look, what he did and what the players did at St. Peter's was great. It was unprecedented. It was historic. They'd made memories that all of them and all their fans are going to be able to share for the rest of their lives. But I think what you say to the coach is, thank you. Thanks for everything you've done. And, you know, and good luck and Godspeed. Pablo, this is how I feel about Max Scherzer leaving the Nats and going to the Mets. He delivered a World Series. Thank you.
But, Tony, here's the difference. And this is why my word is fractionalized. The difference here is that St. Peter's could never even dream of paying what Seton Hall is about to pay Shaheen Holloway. Shaheen Holloway was making around $300,000 a year annually. He's about to make almost 10 times as much over a 6-year contract. Fractionalized because this is the gritty part of being a Cinderella, Tony. If they're Cinderella and St. Peter's is, as you said, unprecedented as an underdog story. If they're Cinderella, they're one of those like gritty reboots of a Cinderella. Their pumpkin, their carriage became a pumpkin, got smashed, and now they are under the boot of capitalism. Like, yeah, you lose your Prince Charming because you can never afford him in the first place.
But you don't think that they should stand in his way. You don't, I mean, this is a legitimate thing for him to do.
You remain, Tony, you remain under the boot, and you are resigned to your fate in the ecosystem of college sports.
He's so much smarter than I am. Next!
The U.S. men should feel blank about qualifying for the World Cup with a 2-0 loss to Costa Rica.
They should feel sheepish Don't get me wrong, it's wonderful that they are in the World Cup. But to get into the World Cup, all they had to do was lose by less than six. By less than six. They did not win this game. They did not score any goals in this game. They lost 2-0 against a Costa Rican squad that was not even the best squad that they could put out there. And so you don't, I don't think you should celebrate something like that. You lost by less than six. That's a very low bar in soccer. We get crushed by Costa Rica all the time. We are 0-10-2 in Costa Rica. Again, qualifying is great, and it's actually qualifying, not that sign that they unfurled the other day when they hadn't really qualified. Yeah. But it's a little cheesy to get in by losing. So before you pop the champagne corks, why don't you wait a suitable amount of time?
Yeah, my favorite detail about this game, Tony, is that the U.S. could have forfeited and still made the World Cup. They just had to not lose by six. So good on them for trying, but this is why my word is near-death experienced. They should feel near-death experienced by this because they played the game, they found out, oh, we can't actually score against Costa Rica. And they had experienced something like this that resulted in actual death in 2018 or 2017 to qualify for the 2018 World Cup when they lost to Trinidad in a game that made Taylor Twellman, who I had on ESPN Daily this week, literally black out on television asking, what are we doing here? So the U.S. made the World Cup. That's great. They undid 2018's non-qualification, but they should know death is not far away for them if this is how they play against Costa Rica.
They didn't just lose to Trinidad. It was Trinidad and Tobago, right? It wasn't just Trinidad. I think I'm right about that, geographically speaking.
Accurate.
That's the final word. Let's take one last break, but still to come. We didn't need corrections on that. Did Austin Rivers really deserve to get ejected for faking the throw of an elbow? Faking.
And just how big a deal was the Heat's win over the Celtics last night?
Did nobody get six goals in soccer? They knew they were going to walk in. Nobody gets
That's
six.
Right. And by the way, I'd also
advise,
also claim injury. If it's 5-0, you all got knee soreness. None of you can play. You'd still make the World Cup.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 21st birthday, James Wiseman. The Golden State center is out for the rest of the year with a knee injury. He was the second overall pick in the 2020 draft, behind Anthony Edwards and ahead of LaMelo Ball, and so far Wiseman isn't near either of them. Wiseman has averaged 11.5 points and 5.8 rebounds for the Warriors, but he's played in only 39 games in two seasons. Wiseman first came to national attention when he agreed to play for Penny Hardaway at Memphis after playing for him in high school. The recruiting of Wiseman became notorious. Wiseman played only three games at Memphis before the school declared him ineligible. Even now, there are reverberations. Memphis and Hardaway have been accused of major NCAA violations for allegedly making direct payments to Wiseman's family for moving expenses. The temptation is to wonder if Wiseman is worth the effort. But big men are often long-term projects, and Wiseman is only 21.
Tony, it is absurd that the Warriors are this good without their number two overall pick. They haven't had him at all this season, as you alluded to. But just imagine also the alternate universe in which the Warriors drafted LaMelo Ball instead. Imagine a backcourt with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and LaMelo Ball. That would have infuriated everybody and been insanely fun to watch.
LaMelo Ball's really good. Happy anniversary, John Wooden. This is posthumous, but on this day 47 years ago, Wooden led UCLA to its 10th national championship in 12 years by beating Joe B. Hall's Kentucky team. Just 2 days before the Wizard of Westwood announced he would retire after the championship game. The 12-year run began with a team led by Gale Goodrich and Walt Hazard. It continued through the Lou Alcindor years and the Bill Walton years, and it ended with this group, notably Marcus Johnson, Dave Myers, and Andre McCarter. People often chirp that it was easier for Wooden to win the NCAA title then. There were fewer teams to go through, and the regionals were strictly geographic, and UCLA was by far the best team in the West year after year. But you try winning 10 times in 12 years, and then let me know how easy that is. The hardest thing to do is win with talent because everyone expects it.
Tony, the fact that Coach K just passed John Wooden for most Final Fours made ever, 13 he has, is wildly impressive because John Wooden is a deity, right? And by the way, I don't know if there's a more fascinating coach-player relationship in sports history than John Wooden and Bill Walton. Bill Walton getting arrested, protesting Vietnam, while the guy who made the Pyramid of Success has to discipline him. I'd watch a miniseries about that alone.
It's great. It's great. Happy trails to last night's game for Austin Rivers. The Nuggets guard got tossed last night for elbowing the annoying Lance Stephenson of Indiana. It was Rivers' second technical, hence an automatic ejection. His first technical also came as the result of a dust-up with Stephenson, whom Rivers later called, quote, an irritant. The only problem is that Rivers did not actually elbow Stephenson. Rivers faked an elbow and got run nonetheless. After the game, Rivers tweeted, quote, never in my life have I been thrown out of a game for something so ridiculous. Seriously, never. League got a look at this one, unquote. Denver coach Michael Malone said he was told that Rivers was ejected for, quote, a malicious act, unquote. Certainly the intent had malice, but the act did not happen. Former tough guy players like Kurt Rambis and Kevin McHale are surely laughing at this.
Yeah, laughing is a kind gerund, Tony, for what I imagine Charles Oakley is doing, watching this get called in the way that it was called. And by the way, the Denver Nuggets fans, Tony Brothers is the name of the referee in question. I'm not saying there's truth to this or substance, but there is a history with him and the Nuggets that lots of people are very angry about. The league should be mindful of that, too, as a matter, as a aspect of the story.
We have one correction here, rather an omission. LeBron and Anthony Davis are both out for tonight's game in Utah, but expect to play tomorrow at home against New Orleans. Pablo, Wilbon and I trash the Lakers all the time. Take 15 seconds and let me know what you think of them.
Tony, the Lakers' original sin is that Russell Westbrook was signed. Russell Westbrook is not as bad as the memes suggest, but he is their biggest problem. And yeah, good luck. Good luck, LA. Sorry to tell you that, you know, we told you so, but we kind of all did.
Let's go to the big finish. The Heat beat the Celtics and the Suns beat the Warriors. Bigger deal.
It's a bigger deal for the Suns, man. This is the greatest season, or tied for the greatest season by regular season wins, 62 of them, a franchise record now. The Rams, meanwhile, signed former All-Pro linebacker Bobby Wagner to a 5-year deal. Is that a significant addition?
Yeah, they lost Von Miller, and this is what the Rams do. They get big-name guys who can still play, and they put them in right now to win right now. Jim Harbaugh made Colin Kaepernick an honorary captain for the upcoming Maize and Blue spring practice game. Your thoughts?
My main thought is that Jim Harbaugh saw Colin Kaepernick be one of the greatest playoff-performing quarterbacks against the Green Bay Packers. On that alone, yeah, bring that guy back. Let him tell them what that's like. Connor McDavid also became the first NHL player to 100 points this season. Is that a big deal?
100's a lot of points, and he's got 63 assists, so he's helping other people, including Draisaitl, score goals. Last one, NIT championship tonight, Xavier versus Texas A&M. Who you got?
Tony, I'm a Jesuit-educated man. My vocabulary comes from them. Give me Xavier.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Eric in Weed, California. Weed, California, shout out.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Yeah, please check out ESPN Daily, wherever you get your, you know, good podcasts. But for now, here is SportsCenter.
Weed, California. That's a punchline, right?
Can I get a shirt?